Farsetta in the morning. The Fanatic.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Mark Farzetta, Jamie Lynch, Bob Cooney with the day off today. He's off this week, actually. Pat Egan producing the program. Welcome in. Hope you're having just a lovely Monday morning to this point. A little rainy. Be careful on 76. Had a little issues coming into the city today, or coming out of the city, rather, in here to beautiful Bala Cynwyd. Here's the deal. The 76ers, they won last night. They beat the Spurs 132-130. Night and day was the difference between Shake Milton Saturday night versus Shake Milton last night. And I love to see that. I'm happy to see that. I often in this business root to be wrong. I didn't want him back in the starting lineup because of the train wreck that it was Saturday night. He calmed the storm. He was much better last night. The flow of the offense was much better than it was. Granted, we are comparing it to that of, once again, an aforementioned train wreck, but it still looked 1,000 times better, and that's the bottom line. You saw a much more relaxed Shake Milton, a much more confident Shake Milton, a much more aggressive Shake Milton. That, in itself, was nice to see. 6 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc, hit both free throws that he attempted last night. Not a lot of assists for a point guard, but also did happen to play almost 10 more minutes, played 7 more minutes than he did the previous night, which is nice, or the previous game, which was nice. I don't know what it is about the Sixers in a home mentality, but it looked like they were yucking it up a little bit before the game, being that they heard good old Matty Cord doing the announcements there, doing the PA announcements, and it just looked like they were having a good time.
And
like
Ron Brooks.
And yeah, Ron Brooks was doing a great job, and he was singing the national anthem.
That was cool to see him on the Art Museum steps.
I thought it was just, everything was well done. Very well done for the first non-home home game for the Sixers. That was great. But schematically, I still don't see a huge difference in this Sixers team. I see a difference in Shake Milton confidence-wise. Really can't argue that. Like I said, it was a much better version of Shake Milton. But watching those guys move around the court still looks very similar to the way it did prior to shutdown. You saw Joel Embiid come out with another good night. You saw Ben Simmons get into foul trouble early. So I'm trying not to judge too harshly on what Brett Brown's rotations was last night. I wasn't a big fan at the end of the first quarter, end of the first half, when you saw Howell Nettle on the floor, you saw Matisse Thybulle on the floor, Furkan Korkmaz on the floor, Al Horford on the floor, all at the same time. And I was thinking, I don't want to buy into this too much or get too angry with this, simply because Ben Simmons was in that much foul trouble early on in this game. But for the vast majority of it, you never felt comfortable in this win. And we don't need blowout wins to feel comfortable. You just want to seem like the team has control. And when you went through the ebbs and flows of this game, Sixers especially in the second half, they win the third quarter by 10 points. They actually look like they solidified some offense. And then they lose the fourth quarter by 10 points, but still managed to get the win on an incredible game-winning shot by Shake Milton. And that right there is exactly what you wanted to see. At the end of that game, the ball was in the hands of Shake, and we were all thinking of a very similar thing. What's the play? What's going on here? And Shake Milton stepped up at 3 and knocked it down. Bottom line, they won the game. But at any point, Jamie, did you feel like, oh, Sixers are going to get this?
I voted yes on your poll.
That they were going to win?
Yes.
I voted no on my own poll.
So your poll happened right before kind of that meltdown where the Spurs got back in it.
Exactly.
It was like they were down 6 maybe, and then the Spurs tied it up in like the blink of an eye.
I started to feel it. Started to sense it. And I was like, all right, people, what are you feeling right now?
Well, that happens when you have a lineup of Hollow freaking Neto and Furkan Korkmaz and Matisse Thybulle and just head-scratching lineups. But yeah, I for some reason, I felt like they were going to pull it off.
You're more optimistic than I am, because I looked over at that bench and I said, well, DeMar DeRozan is in this game, and Ben Simmons is sitting on the bench right now. He's in foul trouble.
It seemed
he's
like
about to foul out. I still can't believe DeMar DeRozan, with about, I want to say it was about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, had Ben Simmons one-on-one to the hoop. And instead of DeMar DeRozan finishing and going to the hoop and trying to finish strong, draw the foul from Ben, get him out of the game because he had 5 fouls at that point, he kicks it out for a missed 3. The Sixers can't get the rebound. Spurs then get the second chance 3-pointer at that point in the game. And I'm looking at it going, well, gee, thanks, DeMar. Appreciate that. But that was the point that I thought DeMar was going to more or less take over, and the Sixers didn't have that guy to take over.
Yeah, it seemed like for a stretch of time there, if he just went to the basket hard, he was getting an automatic bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that's probably Ben Simmons' foul trouble, but Joel Embiid was a little around the rim last night. He was cautious, I would say.
Yeah.
Whatever. Not a big deal, but the thing I walked away with last night, what happened to their defense?
It's gone away in the fourth quarter, especially.
That's two nights in a row where it's 46 and 43 allowed in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
No.
Just can't.
No, and especially, I mean, a Spurs team that's not exactly a great Spurs team.
No. They've got some veteran players. And look, Rudy Gay had his season high, mm-hmm. of course, against the Sixers. How many times have you heard that this year? 10 to 12 times,
yeah,
at least.
Right. Yeah, when it comes to the Sixers?
Yeah. Oh, so-and-so is having a career night. And it's like, well, is that part of their scheme where they just like let a TJ Warren go off and get his and then try and stop everybody else? Like, I don't know, but it's head scratching. Rudy Gay was a walking bucket last night too. Their defense is putting my brain in a pretzel.
22 points they've been outscored by in the last two games in the fourth quarter.
That's not a winning formula.
No, it's absolutely not. And here's the other thing. I was so frustrated by the time Shake Milton shot that three. The previous possession, when the Spurs have the side out of bounds and nobody fouls with 20 seconds left, there's 10 seconds that ticked off the clock on the inbounds play.
They almost got the steal. It almost paid off for them.
They almost got lucky.
Yeah, but they almost got screwed, too, because people were ducking them left and right.
And Ollie even said it during the broadcast. He's like, if you're not getting the steal here, you got to foul right away.
Yeah, that was like a good 10 seconds, probably.
It was 10 seconds. So I'm watching the whole play, and I'm going, wait, why aren't they fouling?
I think it was 20 when they inbounded.
20 seconds when they inbounded, yeah. 10 seconds when they went to the foul.
Yikes.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, wait, why nobody's fouling? And they almost got the steal. I'm like, okay, cool. Oh, damn. And then I rewound it right before the foul shots just to watch Brett, because I wanted to see if the coach was yelling foul. I wanted to see if he was emphatically yelling foul, because the proper play there is, again, if you don't get the steal right away, if they don't mess it up, if they don't have some kind of bonehead play, the Spurs, that is, you foul. And they didn't foul. They tried to trap someone at the I think it was DeRozan at the half court line, and I'm going, okay, the steal's not coming. Then the ball squirted free. They couldn't pick it up. Then they finally fouled. But after that, another 3 seconds had ticked off the clock, and I'm looking at Brett the whole time. He's just standing there.
Well, it's interesting. I'd love to I'm sure he told them in a timeout or stop of possession somewhere, but he has said, I don't want to have to baby these guys. He believes that they should know.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's probably wrong with what this group has shown you.
I don't know who keeps their cool right there.
I don't either. Pop probably would have removed the mask and yelled out on the court.
Well, he was very active with removing the mask yesterday.
Yeah.
He was very active
it's
in doing
it.
It's
got to be pretty tough to coach with a mask on.
But the Sixers.
So I don't know if the players just, Brett, it was so basic of a basketball understanding that Brett's like, all right, well, they know they should foul. Like, duh.
10 seconds.
Or does he actually have to baby them and be like, guys, we have to foul here, right? Right?
I'll spare you the 2 seconds where you thought you might have had the steal.
Yeah.
Even 8 seconds of that possession, you're going, what's happening? Foul him. And if you're the coach, no matter how basic it is, aren't you going, foul him! Foul! Yeah. Aren't you like running up and down?
Now, probably should have Bobby Knighted a chair onto the court.
That would have stopped it. and then Shake has the side out of bounds.
Cover him on that play. Interesting defensive tactic.
I thought Embiid, you weren't getting a pass to Embiid in the post at that spot.
I didn't think that was the play call, though.
I don't know what the play call.
I don't think it developed because they just didn't guard him, and Shake was like, oh, okay. Well, you're not going to guard me? Bleep you, like the old Chase Utley. Boo? Bleep you.
Shake's defender cheated back to Embiid.
He sagged, yeah.
But I looked, and Horford, who had the ball at the top of the key, it looked like that was the one play that was supposed to happen, him get the ball, I guess. And then you were trying to force it down to Embiid, who was covered. You weren't forcing a pass between him and the rim. And then you see Shake just kind of leak back onto the court. And he's like,
oh, nobody's guarding
me. Oh, nobody's here. Cool.
I'll just stick this game winner.
And he, to his credit, the guy that played Saturday night was not the guy that played last night.
No, it was great to see.
It was.
And, did you see the first guy over to chest bump?
Well,
and
here's the deal. Even before he ran over, Embiid saw Shake Milton spot up that three. He turned to wait for a rebound if it occurred, And the second that ball went through, you see Embiid turn around with his big, fat smile. And then you see him run over there, jump in the air, high five, the whole thing. You see Shake do that, like Vince McMahon, walk back to the bench and he's ready to go. You know, not quite that much of a strut, but still a strut nonetheless.
The two best friends anyone could have.
Oh, there's never an issue. Never an issue. And look, and it's great to see it because ultimately I want the Sixers to win. I want them to win the championship, obviously. But that was a great game for Shake Milton. I don't regret anything I said yesterday because it was that much of a train wreck. You could not have had a better debut as a starter in the restart for Shake Milton. Brett Brown stuck with him. He rewarded him with that game. And who knows, after whatever play Brett Brown might have drawn up before that side out of bounds and before that game-winning shot by Shake Milton, it didn't work, and it looked awful, whatever they tried to execute there. And Shake Milton stepped up, hit a three. Because ultimately, when you hit the three, who cares what the play was? But you still won. When we judge this Sixers team, really when we judge any team that we root for, like the Sixers, when we're judging this team, we're not judging them on one sole performance against one team. We're judging how they're going to do when you extrapolate that the way they play in that game versus the upper echelon teams like the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. The Spurs are not the Bucks, the Raptors, the Celtics, even the Pacers, who had their number this year. No, they're not those teams. They're worse. And it was still a tight game. So that's concerning. That comes down to the defense. But back to Shake for a second. I think without him, though, what else stood out to me last night is you don't really have any guard play. Like, if Ben Simmons is in foul trouble and Shake Milton, like, that's all you got.
Howell Neto.
Richardson was a positive to me last night. He looked, like, assertive, and he had his role in the offense. But, like, Alec Burks, what's going on there?
The coach, I guess, just doesn't like him.
You don't have many guys on this team outside of Shake and Ben that can actually handle and facilitate an offense. Mm-hmm. It's stunning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah, and Howell
Neto. That's like Shake's value skyrocketed again last night because you saw just how badly this team needs somebody that with a perimeter game that can create, that can dish, that can shoot. Because they don't have it.
I don't know why.
Your desperation hangs on him.
I don't see how Howell Neto and Alec Burks get around 10 minutes each. Only 10 minutes. Alec Burks, I don't see how he gets actually 1 minute less than Howell Neto in a game where Ben Simmons had foul trouble throughout the game.
Yeah, he came in, I think, with like two minutes.
Ben Simmons played 25 minutes.
2 minutes to go. Howell came in with 2 minutes to go in the first half for like that end of half run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I was just watching it going, why? Why?
You got to have Neto. Apparently you need Neto. Need a lot of Neto. I don't know why, but apparently Brett Brown really likes that Neto fella.
What did Alec Burks do to Brett?
I don't know. I think the same thing Trey Burks did to Brett. Trey Burke did to Brett, actually.
And I'm looking forward to Glenn Robinson's return because I think he can fill a role on this team.
Yeah, I want to see what he can do. This is the guy that was getting a look as a starter before things were shut down.
Yeah.
So we'll look at that. But you're right. The defense is something that definitely stuck out to me in the fourth quarter.
Ben was... Like, did he get monstarred last night? Did he have the funky juice?
I don't know.
Suck his basketball powers away. Where the hell has he been these two games?
He has been neutered. It looks like by this offense.
I think he'll come out against Washington. You know, because we're having this conversation, probably have a triple double. But these two games were not Ben Simmons.
Their defense has disappeared. Ben has since we started play again, even including the exhibition games. Obviously, here Ben's regressed. Like.
I don't know what happened.
I loved the guy that I saw in the first exhibition game. The guy in the last two exhibition games. The guy in the middle exhibition game was still, you know, all-star Ben Simmons. The guy in the last one just was disinterested because it was the last game, didn't count for anything. He just wanted to get to it. And then, really, the last two games, just, eh.
Yeah.
Especially defensively.
Yeah, all around.
Warren goes off on this team, and then last night he gets into foul trouble. He had some ill-advised plays, obviously, defensively. He wasn't moving his feet.
Yeah, there were sloppy fouls.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what it is with Ben, but that juice needs to start flowing again.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the Spurs. And yeah, you look at the Spurs last night, and they are not the upper echelon team. You should not have struggled, even with Ben Simmons in the foul trouble that he was in, against a team like the San Antonio Spurs. So my major takeaway from this is, yeah, defensively you broke down in the fourth quarter. Shake Milton, as happy as I am to see him play a much more confident game and a better game. I mean, this guy was hitting a couple threes for you. He had some key slashing plays for you, had some good setups as well as the point guard of this basketball team. But overall, this Sixers team should not have struggled that way against the Spurs. So, I mean, we have our side. We have our poll question going on today, brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And it's a very easy question. Do you expect more of the Shake Milton that played on Saturday night, or you expect more of the Shake Milton that played last night? Saturday night or Monday night? I got to be honest. I expect more of this version because it can't be as bad as what you did see happen on Saturday night. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Pretty easy to look at that.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday was the lowest of low bars.
But here's the question I hate to ask, but it is how I feel this morning. The Sixers won, and I hate to be nitpicky here.
Uh-oh.
I don't feel victorious tonight.
No, it was not. Look, all wins are good wins, but it did have that win of with stank on it.
You know that moral victory, you know, the cliche? It's like, there's no moral victories. Is there a moral loss? Because I feel a moral loss today.
I thought, even if they had lost the game, I was still happy with Shake. Like, I wasn't going to be completely, you know, downtrodden by the game. Mm. But it did leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Like basic basketball fouling with 20 seconds left when the other team has the ball.
Brett's rotations make me want to bash my head against
him. Again, I'm not going to go crazy on those today. Simply because you foul trouble with Ben. But still, it's bad. But then it goes back to Ben. Ben, be better. All right. So you look at all that, and I'm not going to go crazy on that, but it was still a little bit more Howell Netto than I would have liked, even yeah, in a Ben Simmons night.
Just like all 10 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah, like, I could like to see Alec Burks a little bit more, especially when you hit some ruts early offensively. And that was the other thing. Josh Richards did not look good early on shooting from three.
No.
Got it together both offensively and defensively as the game went on. I mean, at the last attempt by the Spurs with 6 seconds left, excuse me, it would have been about 4 seconds left after Shake Milton hit what would be the game winner. You look back at DeMar DeRozan, and Josh Richardson's all over him. DeMar DeRozan literally threw him out of his way as he was going to the basket.
I tweeted right before that. I was like, you got to have either Richardson or Thibault on DeMar because that's where they're going, and have Horford and Embiid as the safety valve. That's exactly what transpired. Richardson, he's a pretty good defender. I'm not going to say great, but when he wants to, he can stick with somebody.
See, so we'll continue that conversation. Defense stood up there when it needed to stand up there, even though Josh Richardson, it was the one play. He was all over DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan literally threw him out of his way.
Yeah.
Cut to the basket.
I was shocked that there was no fouls called on that. It wasn't. You can't decide a game on those calls, but I was like, oh, man, that was close.
It was close. I will say this. The referees were a huge deal to me. There were a couple of plays. Like the one play where Josh Richardson, I think, had his arm ripped off and there was no foul call.
I actually thought that was ball.
It was ball, but it looked like his body was all over his, like, the arm was, the hand was on the ball. The arm was all over the body.
Yeah. I got it. Brett like stormed the court.
Oh, yeah. But then you see Matisse Thybulle make no contact whatsoever on a play where he was the trailing man and he gets called for the foul.
Yeah, and there was the other one where Shake got the elbow to the face and got called for the foul.
But the other one that bothered me was a similar play to the Josh Richardson call where he got called. There was no foul call there. Similar play on the other end, and it was a foul call. So it was like, what? All right, whatever. But nonetheless, this is the farthest thing from my mind, to be honest with you, as far as the officiating goes. Just something that stuck with me. The other thing that we'll look at today is Doug Peterson. Because as we know, Doug Peterson tested positive for coronavirus. And he's home right now, and he's self-quarantining. He's away from the team. Deuce Daly's taking on a bigger role, as Doug said yesterday. But Doug did address the media yesterday, which I was very happy to see. Because, you know, if there's bad news, you know, you call your parents with bad news, or you might have gotten hurt or something like that. It's better that you call instead of somebody else call. Because that way, I talked to him. He sounded okay. Better than you calling my mom and be like, Ms. Farzetta, Mark, fell. You know, oh, God, you know.
He's at the hospital. I have his cell phone.
I'd rather hear from the person that
has
the issue. So Doug is addressing the media yesterday. It was nice to see. There's a couple of different things that Doug got into yesterday. One of them being that he's still very confident in all the protocol at the NovaCare complex. He basically bookended his press conference with that. He opened with the confidence he has in all the protocol in South Philadelphia.
Was Jeffrey Lurie standing to the side of the camera with like a shotgun pointed at him?
You will
say all the right things, Douglas.
It was definitely like the medical staff. Actually, they were virtually threatening him. So Doug's sitting there at his desk. And he opens with, I'm confident in everything going on here. And then the first question is from Ruben Frank. And we'll let you hear this in a little bit. Ruben flat out just says, you know, you're confident. That's great. You sound like you're pretty confident that you didn't get it at the NovaCare complex. And I'm not looking for Doug to disclose all the information as to like who he thinks he got it from and where exactly he thinks he got it and all that. I was just expecting, oh yeah, no, I'm confident. I'm not going to go into details with you guys, but I'm confident I got outside of the NovaCare complex. Like that I didn't get. I thought it was a weird, answer, and we'll let you hear it a little bit later.
I think he must be positive that he didn't get it there.
It's not a question of wanting somebody to say, like, I don't want to
it's
hear
so
exactly
hard to
what
know,
I'm,
you know?
Yeah, but at least, like, he said that he's overly confident in NovaCare. That's great.
Yeah, he called it their safe space again.
Yeah, he called it their own bubble.
Yeah.
But it's like when you're posed the question, you sound pretty confident that you didn't get it in NovaCare.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yes, I am.
I think there's probably, and I'm just guessing, this is my speculation, the way I interpreted it, probably something he did that maybe would be considered wrong.
Stupid?
Yeah. that's how I read it.
Overall, that's the vibe.
Basically, what I heard was, yeah, I was at a golf tournament with this buffet last Monday, and I probably shouldn't have done that, but I'm not going to tell you guys that because I won't hear the end of it.
Right.
And yeah, I'm confident I didn't get it at NovaCare.
Okay. I would bet something along those lines.
Yeah.
But when the simple question's posed, you sound confident you didn't get it there. Yep. I'm not even looking for like a long drawn out, well, you know, this person was out of town, I was in contact with them. I don't need specifics.
Yeah.
I just need the slam dunk. Because ultimately, yes, as concerned as you might be about Doug Peterson's health and all that, if you're just a football fan wanting the season to happen, don't you want to be a little extra assured that this team is not some great threat?
Yeah.
Don't you want to know that? Don't you want to know that the coach didn't get it and maybe gave it to another player? Don't you want to know that the coach wasn't around these other guys when he thought, oh, no, I think I feel fine. I'm fine. Like, don't you want to know that? Like, as much as possible, I want to get as close to definitive as we can get.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's an impossibility.
Yeah, no. I understand definitive is impossible. But don't you want to at least get as close to that goal line? Like, I know there's no touchdown.
But I think he knows.
Then why did he ask the question point blank? Oh, you sound pretty confident. Trails off. Like, let me just say I'm, you know, the protocol.
I think he did something stupid.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got.
I think he did something dumb that he regrets, and he doesn't want to hear about it.
All right, we'll let the people play detective. All right? And look, it's not a matter of here's what exactly I want Doug to say. That's not a matter of that. It's a matter of just, you're saying all the confident things about the NovaCare complex, but when point blank asked, you seem pretty confident you didn't get it at NovaCare. All I was expecting was I'm pretty, with all the
problems. Well, me and Lane shouldn't have been chest bumping in the locker room.
I certainly don't think it was that, but we'll let you hear from Doug when we come back. The Phillies played yesterday, so that happened. Jake Arrieta, it was fun to watch him miss spots again. Man, that was great.
Did they play?
He actually looked better than I kind of expected.
Didn't he get rocked? The two home runs that he gave up were out of the...
Yankee Stadium home runs.
Yeah, but he also missed his...
It's also Jake Arrieta.
It's belt
high. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be anything, but it was better than I expected.
Belt high, middle of the plate misses.
I mean, that Brett Gardner one, that looked like a double down the line.
That's why I have hated that stadium since I first saw a game there. And not in person. I saw like this, pop fly to... gone. What?
You know, and it's tough job for Tom McCarthy and those guys doing it on the monitors from back home. Because even with the Jay Bruce home run, they were like, and pop fly.
No,
it's gone.
No,
it's the only stadium I've ever seen where there was a broken bat home run. Like a guy breaks his bat, he should not be able to hit a home run.
No, everything looks like a pop fly to the corner outfield spots.
Except for the Phillies.
It's four rows back. Well, hey, Jay Bruce.
Oh, hey.
Jay Bruce getcha?
You know, never forget.
He's wearing that Dom
Brown. We got one.
Brown number 9.
It's one of the few good contact moves. Embrace it.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Jay Bruce. I'm frustrated that it seems like the Yankees can hit all these home runs and the Phillies' vaunted offense can't.
I forget what point it was in the Sixers game, but I know they went to commercial. And all of a sudden I flip back and there's the third home run of the game by the Yankees. The three-run home run, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, cool. Yeah. Right, and back to the Sixers. 610-632-0975. We come back. Let's hear from Doug Peterson. Also, overall takeaways of last night. Sixers game. I think we do see this version of Shake Milton a little bit more often. Certainly than we saw on Saturday night. We'll get into that. But like I said, right when we come back, let's hear from Doug Peterson, and we'll play press conference detectives. Time to the Fanatic 624.
Farzetta in the morning.
Back BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Richardson comes to the ball. They're looking to throw it in. Milton goes to Horford. Horford back to Shake. Milton for three, shot up and good! He made it with 6 seconds to go, and the Sixers have taken the lead. He stepped right into a tray, well beyond the arc.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. 7-1 straight up here on 97.5. The Fanatic, Mark Barzetta, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan with you. Bob Cooney's off this week. Sixers get their first official win of the restart. Great to see them win. We all know that. And even though the fact that you look at the Wizard or the Spurs record, and the Spurs are basically the reverse, almost the reverse record of what the Sixers are. They're not a good basketball team.
James, no. What you're trying to say is they're not good.
What I'm saying is it could have gone a lot better last night. Unfortunately, it did not get a lot better.
The Sixers were a home team, so they don't lose at home.
They don't lose at home.
And is that 29-2 now on the year?
30-2.
30-2.
Yeah. 30-2 now at home.
That's ridiculous.
So
they're just literally going every other game here. Like there's no rhyme or reason because. I believe the Pacers series on the year, Pacers won 3 of the 4, but had 3 home games.
Yep, whatever.
Technically.
Whatever.
So it's just alternating. All right.
Are we back? Are we healthy? Then we cool.
We got Matt Cord, Ron Brooks, and our virtual fans. All right, we're good.
It was great just to at least see Shake Milton have a complete about face from the previous night.
That's because he had Matty Cord introducing him. Obviously.
It was a tone setter.
Yeah.
And here you go. They won. It's great they won. Happy they didn't lose.
Don't say but.
I'm happy that Shake Milton looked a lot different night and day, as I started off the show by saying night and day Shake Milton. All right. Party. Cool. And I don't want to go, they won, but did it feel like a win? Because I don't want to be petty.
Yeah, that's dang on it.
Yeah.
It did.
The optics, not impressive. And look, I'm taking this with a grain of salt because Ben Simmons did not play a lot of the game. He played 25 minutes in this. He had the foul issues. But the fouls are his fault. Like that, you gotta be smarter.
They were weird last night.
It was very weird. It was lazy. It looked like lazy basketball. And yeah. I didn't want to see that from my all-star point guard / power forward now.
It's just a point player.
I didn't like the opposite. Here's what I did like. I loved the third quarter. And I didn't know how much they won the fourth quarter or third quarter by until after the third quarter when I looked at it.
12?
10,
okay.
But I liked how they came out. Joel Embiid, when he got double teamed, he turned the ball over 3 times in the first half. Turned the ball over once in the second half.
Yeah, it was a horrible cross court pass with 3 guys.
Yeah,
standing right
yeah,
there.
It was just stupid. It was a dumb play.
But it improved.
It wasn't a missed dribble, and it wasn't as a result of a double team.
He got cheeky.
It was a dumb play. But he was passing out of the double teams a lot better. He was finding guys on the perimeter, yep. Josh Richardson being one of them in the third quarter, and then the other was Furkan Korkmaz.
And he found Toby on a couple great cuts.
Yeah.
He had some nice passing last night.
I think it was the 2 points before Shake Milton's game-winning three.
Yeah, that was a nice look for him.
Tobias Harris was streaking down the baseline, and he found him right there for the dunk. It was great 2 points right there.
Back-to-back great games for Toby.
He's been an incredible positive during this.
While we are all watching Joel and we're all distracted by how Ben's playing and we're distracted by how Brett's coaching, mm-hmm. Toby just goes and plays basketball and does well.
The quietest, like every night this happens, it'll be like Tobias Harris with a bucket. That gives him 26 on the night. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I said the same thing last year. Like he would add in the quietest 25 points.
Yeah.
And I think it's because he doesn't go streaking with it.
He's pretty consistent throughout the game.
Yeah, it's never a stretch. It's just Tobias Harris here, and then a couple other guys. Tobias Harris here, a couple other guys. It's never in bunches.
He's been playing great. Plus, really has.
He's the third guy you watch, really.
Yeah, I mean,
we're all evaluating Joe right out of the gate. We're mm-hmm. all evaluating Ben right out of the gate. Then actually,
I was actually watching Shake ahead of him,
and then we're watching Brett,
and then we're watching Howell.
don't get me started.
Oh, those 11 minutes of Jamie Lynch's life, he'll never get back. But you know, like throughout the game, we're watching other things other than Tobias
Harris. Even watched Josh Richardson more than I watched Toby I think Josh Richardson's like an X factor for this team.
Yeah, but I think part of it too is the fact that you know what you're getting from Toby night in and night out.
Yeah.
He's probably the most consistent player on the team.
Probably.
I mean, even Joel will be herky jerky come down the stretch. You know, he's turning the ball over left and right. Ben Simmons, you're looking out for the jump shot in three. Josh Richardson, you're looking just to right the ship. And then Tobias Harris is always going to be Tobias Harris.
Now, speaking of Brett's coaching, again, Sixers won, and I'm happy they won. But I do have to know two things. One, with 20 seconds left, inbounds play for the Spurs, nobody fouls for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, even as I said earlier, I'll spot you the 2 seconds that the ball actually squirted free from the Spurs and went in the backcourt and they regained it and went back to the other way. I'll spot you those 2 seconds. So 8 seconds you should have fouled. You didn't foul. And during that entire time, Brett, like if I'm the head coach and I'm on the sidelines during that stretch of time, I'm losing my mind that the team's not fouling. I'm losing my mind that guys aren't making that foul on that play in that amount of time. Yet 8 seconds, 10 seconds goes by, they foul at 10 seconds. Brett wasn't doing anything on the sideline. He was just standing there watching. And I'm thinking, you gotta yell at these guys. I understand that I don't want you to be a rah-rah, you know, high school Harry type guy, but that's a situation where in the past we've seen Brett lose his mind. So I don't know what the idea was there. I don't know what the mindset was there. I don't get it.
It looked like, if I had to guess, Brett would have told them, hey, go for the trap and steal real quick. If you don't get that within 3-4 seconds, foul. Like that would be, because you had 20 seconds to play with, kind of. Uh-huh. So you could take the chance on the steal. That's the way I would have coached it, and I think maybe the ball slipping out, and then it kind of became a greased-up pig there, chasing him around. It was a little strange.
It was odd, very odd.
10 seconds is a lot to waste.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
It felt like an eternity.
So I'm watching this, and I'm going, well, I don't understand why that happened the way it did, so that's stupid. But anyway, then the inbounds play where Shake Milton ends up hitting the three. What was the play?
I think it was going to go to Joel. Or at least attempt to, and then Shake realized nobody was guarding him and went, oh, I should probably just take this.
Yeah, Joel was heavily double-teamed.
Of course, yeah. I mean, if I'm Greg Popovich, I go, hey, stop 21.
Yeah, well, yeah, and the thing is, Joel in that particular play, I thought was in a bad position, and they were kind of trying to force him into that spot because he was too close to the rim. He was almost under the rim where Al Horford was trying to feed him down low. He wasn't getting a pass down there.
I'd have to watch it again to see off-ball, maybe if it was a Tobias screen to the top of the key off of Horford.
I looked. It didn't look like
I don't know. But Shake Milton shooting that three, I don't think was the design play.
Well, I thought you looked at Al Horford give a little pump fake, like pass, like fake the pass to Joel, and that made Shake's defender droop down and sag off more than he already was. Meanwhile, Shake like sneaks onto the court, right there at three, one bounce shot in,
no hesitation from the young fella. Just let him rip,
none whatsoever. And then you see Joel Embiid, the man that he was ripping the game before, turns around with this big fat grin on his face. And he's just ecstatic that Shake hit it. Runs up to him, high five, all is right with the world. Shake Milton tweeting out the Oprah,
Oprah
after the game, and he's just like, "Yep, what did you expect?"
Did you see Joel's tweet and Instagram about Shake?
Yes, I did.
It's fantastic.
He references Jordan.
Yeah. He said Shake came up to me before the game and said, "It became personal for me, just like MJ." LMAO, nice shot, young fella.
This is the first time Joel Embiid has referenced Jordan. Because remember, he also did it with T.J. McConnell when he was the game winner against the Knicks.
I think, remember, during the All-Star game, he was mic'd up next to somebody on the bench. I can't remember who. And he was asking, he asked them Jordan or Kobe or Jordan or LeBron. Like, he was prying to, like, get answers from people. I think he has fun with the Jordan topic.
Yeah. So, look, overall, they get the win. We still have plenty of things that we're scratching our head over when it comes to that Sixers game. I still don't know what Ben was doing out there on the floor. He just seems out of sorts. He started out great in the exhibition games, and then ever since then,
he's regressed from the bubble. Maybe his Mickey Mouse pancakes aren't up to snuff.
You know what? Maybe he quit bass fishing so much, and maybe we could all move on with our lives.
I did think there was a lot of positives, though, last night. Like, if you get engulfed in Sixers Twitter, sometimes like I do during games, it becomes a very negative and toxic place. And you wouldn't have, like, watching the timeline last night, you would have guessed the Sixers were down 20 the entire game. And I was, maybe because of that, I was trying to be so positive and look for the positives. But I came away last night with some positives. I mean, the defense sucked.
Yeah.
And needs to get better. And they can't allow 43 fourth quarter points, you know, on a consistent basis.
I feel like you skew positive a lot of
times.
What
was your positive? Like, I'm curious.
I thought Al Horford and Joel Embiid played the best together on the court.
Okay.
I've seen them play in a long time. Al Horford was a plus 15. I thought he was really good.
A lot of that was Ben wasn't playing.
I hear you. But that's something that you figured out now. You know what I mean?
I don't think you have.
If you're going to have Al and Ben and Joel playing on the court together, maybe that's the time you give Ben a breather. You know what I mean?
See, Ben was injured towards the end of the shutdown, and Al was a lot better then. He was averaging over 16 points per game, almost 9 rebounds.
Yeah, so you figured out that Al and Ben shouldn't be on the court together. Because it's...
Yeah, but but what are you going to do? Take Ben off the court to have more Al?
Brett Brown needs to stagger his rotations better. He needs to find out exactly who and can, like, Furkan Korkmaz and Howell Neto should never be on the court together at the same time.
Okay.
Because two-fifths of your team become defensive liabilities.
I agree.
That just can't happen. So he needs to figure out the staggering of when to get guys breathers, when to get bring guys in. And I think it's pretty clear that Al can't play with Ben on the court.
Yeah, the only real positive, I mean, look, they won. The only real positive, though, I took away from that game was that Shake Milton had a complete about face.
Oh, yeah.
From the previous night.
He was another positive. I can keep going. Yeah. I was Mr. Positivity last night, Mark.
See, I don't stay on Sixers Twitter throughout the game.
Oh, I do. It's a cesspool.
Because I can't help but comment, usually. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to stay away from this. Because if I end up commenting, then next thing you know, I'm looking up and I'm like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
And then it takes me like 5 hours to watch games because I keep on hitting rewind. But I'm watching the game and I try to follow and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't look good. There doesn't seem like fluidity here. Josh Richardson's struggling early in this one. I don't like the.
He was a positive. For me, though.
I don't like it. He was, especially in the second half of the game.
Yeah, I thought he really turned it around nice.
Joel Embiid in the post. He had, like I said, those three turnovers. I didn't like how he was playing against the double teams, although he was fighting. Give him credit, he was fighting. And then the second half, he seemed like he bounced back. Fourth quarter is when I started to enter the Twitterverse a little bit.
Yeah, got a little sloppy. But another positive for me, Joel Embiid's conditioning looks really good.
Yeah, that's a great sign.
He's hustling. He's all over the court. He's, you know, his rim protection could be a little better, but I think he's trying to protect his fouls. To me, he looks like he's in great shape, and that's a real big positive.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you look at the way that he's played these last couple of games. You look at last night, for instance, and Joel Embiid's minutes were good. His minutes were really good. He played over 30 minutes last night.
Yeah, and he looked energetic, and he's all over the court.
Yeah, and I don't see I still see him getting a rest at some point in the 8 games, which I hate even saying after a 4-month shutdown. But that's just how the Sixers have done it in the past. It also doesn't
that's help. His norm.
Yeah, it also doesn't help that Kyle O'Quinn missed a coronavirus
test. What's up with that?
No. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, like after watching Matisse's thing, it's like it's pretty lockdown. Like you check it on your room in the morning, and then you have to swipe in wherever you like. It seems pretty regimented and hard to miss.
I don't get that.
Huh.
How will they handle that loss? No, I mean, Jamie, I applaud your positivity, and you're the one at the station, honestly, who anytime anything bad can happen, you can find the positive in it. It's something I honestly admire.
I don't like being negative all the time.
No, and honestly, like, I'm no BS.
I'm not telling you they're going to win or go on an extended run or anything, but
I'm with Mark, though. I came out of this going, yeah. All right, you beat a bad team, and you barely beat them.
It's the NBA. I mean,
yeah, okay,
DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan.
They're not a good team. You said
they're not a good team. But DeMar DeRozan is a guy that's capable of going off, and you know,
we're acting like they just beat the Lakers.
No, I'm not.
No, not at all.
I don't have to go to extremes.
I'll back
the Lakers.
I'll back up.
You know what that comment was? That comment was a disgrace.
You're right.
That's what that was. We can all agree.
I mean, as TJ Warren showed you, it's the NBA. They're all pretty damn good. Like somebody's always capable of going off, and DeMar DeRozan was carrying them last night.
I am definitely not going that route.
DeMar DeRozan doesn't.
All right, so hey,
no one said the other. No one said the opposite.
Pat just called them the Lakers.
All right, that was
a hot take.
It was a scorching hot take.
You identify it as a hot take, please. Thank you very much.
It was a scorcher, and I apologize for that. For all those who got burned.
I'll forgive you this one time. All right, I'll forgive you this one time. It was a later game. Maybe you're a little on.
Yeah, it was one of those
clock tip off.
As soon as I said it, I knew I had made a mistake. as soon as I said it.
When Derek White's on the train tracks, you better get off or you're going to get run over, Egan.
That's my point, though. It's like, I can't go with the logic of, we're in the NBA. They're all very good. I mean, okay, so if you lose to the Charlotte Hornets, are we making that excuse of, wow, it's an NBA team?
No, I mean, the Spurs suck, but DeMar DeRozan doesn't suck. So,
but here's the thing. Even if you take away what that team did, look at what your Sixers did. That's what I'm focusing on.
The defense was the big concern.
Again, 22 points you've been blown out by in the fourth quarter.
257 points in two games.
See, what the? What is that?
I don't know.
Ben Simmons is supposed to be
Ben Simmons is a big part of it.
He's supposed to be an elite defender. Hasn't been. He's been bad.
He's probably going to be a first-team All-NBA defender. When your Zach Lowe's and your national guys of that power come out and have you on their team, there's a good chance he's probably going to be first-team. At worst, he's second-team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that's been the last two games.
Yeah, he has fallen by the wayside.
It doesn't make it like, you know, this Sixers Twitter such a cesspool. Oh, Ben Simmons, I thought he, you know, all world-class defenders don't take a night off. All right. I mean, like, the guy's not a bad defender now because he had two poor games.
All right, let me ask you this. How do you feel? Because after last night's game, I don't feel good. I'm like, they won, so.
I don't feel awful. I don't feel good.
I feel gross.
You feel what? What's the word? Magenta? Is that the word you feel? Well, I forget the word, but it's like the middle
That's
of the
a
row.
Color, right?
Yeah. It's like all the colors. There's a quote from Golden Girls, a great show. But anyway,
I've heard of it.
I hate to say that I'm sitting the fence, but that's how I feel.
I felt gross. I wish I was just full of it, like hot taking it, but I just, after watching that game, especially in the fourth quarter, they lost by 10 points in the fourth quarter. The way they ended it, I felt like, of all people, Shake Milton saved their ass.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
And that's great because he's so pivotal to their success.
The Spurs are a 27-win team.
Yeah, what happens when they play good teams?
That's what I always look. I never really watch Sixers against the team that they're playing. I watch them evaluating them, how they would do against another team if they were playing at this
And they would have gotten blown out.
Not necessarily, because they handled the Celtics in the season series. The Sixers have the problem that a lot of, like the Phillies had last year. They play up to their opponents. They play down to their opponents. You can never really pinpoint exactly why teams do that, but the Sixers do that. So you can't say that they'll get blown out by the Celtics in round one because they'll probably play up to that level, just like they play down to the Spurs.
You're 30 seconds away from telling me they're built for 16.
No, I'm not. Did they not win the regular season series versus the Boston Celtics?
Oh, God.
They did.
Okay.
They did, but like, come on, man. They're not a good basketball team. They're the sixth seed. They haven't been a good basketball team all season.
You act like they're the Cleveland Browns of the NBA.
No, I don't. I act like they were supposed to be at minimum the three seed. They have failed to meet expectations, and I'm not willing to sit here and look at a game against the Spurs that they should have blown a bad team out, and they barely squeak it out. And I'm not sitting here going, "Hey, everything's great. We're doing phenomenal."
But you're equating barely beating the Spurs to getting smoked by the Celtics when I'm telling you they've handled the Celtics this year.
But
they don't equate.
See, I'm not worried about this. Like, I know people are worried about this. Like, I'm not worried about the Celtics. Like,
I just don't think they're a good basketball team, and they're not going to win.
Yeah,
and I base that off at all. No, like win in the first round.
I don't care who they face.
No, it's not a hot take because they haven't been a good basketball team all season long.
You're dramatic about how bad they are.
I don't think
you're right. I'm dramatic about them being two spots away from being the eighth seed. I mean, they're the sixth seed. Come on, Jamie, they're the sixth seed.
I don't like
their
odds.
Understand?
I don't like their odds if they face the Pacers. Seem like they can handle them pretty well.
Pacers have their number, like they had the Celtics number this year.
Yeah, right. And then also the Heat. I don't like the odds if they face.
I think they'll beat the Heat.
Yeah, I really wish I could say that. I think your boy Jimmy Butler is a kryptonite.
I think round two is
and Brett Brown.
I think round two is where you're probably toast.
Probably, I would agree. But that's the thing. I want these eight games to be the confidence builder going into it. Not even for the team, more so than for my own sanity.
Yeah, guards got to stop getting in foul trouble so Brett can actually get a rotation that doesn't suck.
By the way, I do enjoy Brett Brown's comment. I did enjoy his comment after the game when he was asked about the fourth quarter defense. And I don't know who asked the question, but the reporter's question, he didn't say this, but this is the tone in which it was said. It basically, to translate it, was you guys really sucked in the fourth quarter. What's with that?
Hey, Brett, what's up with that?
And Brett even said, you know, it's an interesting way to phrase that. Yeah, it stinks. Like, our fourth quarter defense stinks. And he's not wrong. Like,
no, it's terrible. 46 and 43 points.
He's very honest as far as that goes. It's been awful to watch this team in the fourth quarter. Now, before we go down, the one major positive I take out of this is, again, Shake Milton. He didn't look at all. Like, he went from not knowing how to swim to, like, you know, being in a life raft. Like, he was just fine.
He was like, lifeguard competition. I got this, bro.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, right. He went from, like, that to Michael Phelps, right?
Like, it was great to see. I mean, when you're facing an adversity like that, where you're hearing it online and you're hearing it from your fan base, oh, man, this is a it's great that somebody goes out there and answers the bell like that. That's an extreme positive.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just hope to see it again and again and again and again.
Scott's telling me the word I was looking for was malaise.
Malaise is more like a...
Like, I don't... Like, you're dumbfounded? Like, you're, like, a... Like, when I think of malaise, I think of, like...
Yeah, like, you're in a haze. Like, you're just kind of like...
Nah. I'm quoting... I'm pretty sure it's a Golden Girls quote. But I'll confirm in a minute.
Go to Golden Girls Wiki and dig that one up.
I think what you're looking for is you barely beat a bad team. So it's hard to get excited about it.
All right, I teased this before the break, the sad news, and it is unfortunate. Did you see they're closing a Wawa on Broad Street?
I did, yeah.
Are they closing it, or are they closing for good? Like, they're good.
They're closing for good.
Yeah. Center City Wawa's get a little wild.
Center City Wawa, Broad and Walnut, I believe,
yeah.
Broad and Walnut. They're closing that Wawa for good. Do you know the sports tie-in to that Center City Wawa?
Ooh. Did you get a Gatorade there at the Eagles parade?
Yeah, does it actually have to do with you, or is it
No, it's not me. This isn't about me. This is about sports, bro.
Charlie Manuel's stop the day he got fired and was leaving the stadium with the Wawa bag.
That's a really good guess.
Excellent guess.
Yeah, that's a really good guess.
No, not it.
What sport are we talking?
Could be
Jim Leyland bought his cigarettes in the middle of his interview at that Wawa.
We're actually talking football.
Oh.
All right, I'll tell you that tie-in when we come back here.
Those are two pretty good guesses.
They're pretty good. So many other routes to go. We come back. I'll tell you what that is here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.